I never imagined being here in 10 years. I don't think any of us did. And when I first started playing pickleball, because I come from coaching tennis, the first thing I did was I wanted to know, what's our organization? Who does the education? And it didn't exist. It was important to have an influence of racket sport that it's already aware. But there's things that have gotten lost within that time. I think all of us have seen it where businesses have taken more into this sport, and it's less about the growth and it's more about how does my business grow? It's about getting us further. Along. If we want to succeed, we need to work together because it's about the sport. It's not about us.
Well, hello. Welcome back to the Future of Pickleball. We're here on the Selkirk TV channel, bringing you stories, interesting people, folks that really make a difference in the game. I've got a panel discussion today with four of the most prominent coaching, teaching people in the sport of pickleball. Hey, gang, welcome to the group. And now I want to start off. Let me do some introductions. So as we get into this, I want to first introduce Robert Elliott. Robert is the head of the International Foundation of Players Academy. We'll refer to him as the IFPA in the future. And then we'll have Mark Renison on the show. Mark is with Pickleball Coaching International. We're going to have Sarah Ansbury on with us. Sarah is involved with the Professional Pickleball Registry. And then our final guest will be Dan Santorum from the Racket Professionals Organization. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul.
Good to be here.
I want to tell you guys, if you like you being the people watching this, if you like what you're seeing and you're not subscribed, please make a point of subscribing to this channel. You'll see this caliber of individuals on a regular basis on this show. That being said, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about how we've put this together based on the standpoint that your groups have all been recognized to partner and be endorsed by the Global Pickleball Federation. I think that's a very cool component as we see the sport growing up. What I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you about how you got into the coaching, what the teaching, what your history has been. And let's start with Robert. Give us an idea as to what you've been doing.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Basically, with pickleball, personally, I've been teaching about 12 years. And my history before that was a Division I tennis player. I taught during college at one of Nick Bollettieri's tennis academies. So I've been teaching for a long time. And then the transition from the tennis world into the pickleball world was incredible. And right away, there was always a need for teaching individuals, getting them better. But right when we started, made that transition, we started playing pro tournaments and we just saw that need. And we created a training academy that then turned into a certification and rating company too. So it's been about a 12-year journey between teaching, certification, and rating for our company.
Perfect. Mark, why don't you give us a little bit of an idea as to what PCI has been doing?
It's Paul. Pickleball Coaching International has been around now since 2017, maybe. 2018, I guess. And I come from a teaching background in other sports, in tennis initially, trained as a school teacher as well. And we thought that there was an opportunity not just to develop more players as pickleball continues to grow, but also an opportunity to develop more coaches. And so Pickleball Coaching International, we try to contribute the ways that we can to bring kind of a learner-centered approach to pickleball coach education, as well as, flagging some of the changes that we see in the sport as a whole and helping current and aspiring coaches to be able to sort of move with the times.
Very nice. Sarah, give me a little bit of it. I know you've been with PPR now for quite a while. Give me a little bit of an update as to what's going on with you guys.
An update. Well, you know, ironically enough, in 2018, Dan was our CEO of PTR. He hired me to write the education for pickleball. I was not, I was, you know, very much on the pro field at the time and had not wanted to commit to a full-time experience. So I did the education, I did the coach development, et cetera. PTR itself will be around for 50 years. This next year will be our big celebration. So that's a huge one for us. And bringing in pickleball, I think, was the next big thing. I knew it was really important to have a tennis company when it came to facilities, being more open-minded to having pickleball courts with tennis courts. And almost 2 years ago, the board brought me in to really take PPR to the next level and expand quite a bit. And so we have been in, I've been very busy the last couple of years in about 10 different countries in the last year. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Cool. Dan, I guess you're last, buddy. Let's get us up to speed with where you are with the Racquet Professional Association organization, excuse me.
Well, I'm probably first as far as coaching's concerned, but like Mark and Sarah, I started out in tennis as well. And then as Sarah alluded to, in 2018, I helped start the PPR and hired Sarah. Last year, I had an opportunity to become the CEO of Racquet Pro. RPO is the acronym that we use, and had the good fortune of getting Colin Johns to come on as our architect of our education. He's a fantastic coach educator, and he's the one as far as the brains when it comes to coaching and teaching pickleball.
Yeah, very nice. You know, one of the things that I thought was so interesting with this announcement that the GPF had formed partnerships and is endorsing each of your programs, I want to kind of talk a little bit about how you see certification from highly established programs like yours that are all based here in the United States helping grow the sport around the world. Sarah, let's get back to you to start off with that one.
You know, I think in a lot of sports, the United States is not necessarily the best at. We're good at a lot of things, but pickleball, we are kind of the best at right now, which is putting us in an opportunity where we're able to lead a lot of the content and education. When I go to other countries, so PPR itself, we've been to 25 countries and certified within that. PTR has been to 120 countries. So we have offices throughout the world, and we work really closely with them in developing that. And it's been a huge difference when you're starting to see players, coaches get to understand the full of the game rather than what they've seen on YouTube or online. It's that ability to get that in-person education. And it's been nonstop. I kind of look at the rest of, you know, the countries, it's almost like 5 years behind. They're really just now getting jump-started into the development and the growth. And like Global Pickleball Federation, they all want to grow with the sport and with other organizations. And so it's been a huge impact the last couple of years.
I think that's great. You know, Robert, I know that with the IFPA, you've been doing a lot of stuff for quite a while now. What's your take on where you think this certification can take the sport?
Well, I think, and I think we all feel the same, is the need for this. And I think what the GPF is doing, pulling us together to endorse us, because all of us are great organizations and everything. And, you know, just to continue what Sarah's saying, you know, in pickleball, we lead it. But that's also, we can learn from that, as everyone thinks they're an instructor. And yep. So what I notice over the years of doing this is that it's almost a hindrance. You see so many videos out there. You see everyone's a teacher. And they should not be, because they're actually hurting the player. They're hurting the game. So we all alluded to that it's at that infancy in a lot of the other countries. This is a perfect time for us all to come together to set them right. Start with the organizations, where the more of the people are, and actually get them and teach the instructors the right way to teach. And I think that's the way that the pickleball is going to grow and everything, by all of us right here looking at that. And I think that's the best thing that all of us can do.
Cool. You know, Dan, as I look back at your bio and your past, you've been around racquet sports for a long, long time. What is your take on how you think now that the sport of pickleball is growing up and maturing around the world, that this coaching certification model will work itself out?
Well, I think it's just necessary for, you know, any country outside of the U.S. and Canada, which are mature markets, as we all know, to get the coaching right. Because, you know, like you said, I've been around for a long time. And when tennis boomed in the 70s and busted, the reason it busted was because there weren't good quality coaches. And it's going to be the same for pickleball. And I've said this many times. Pickleball has the benefit of learning from the mistakes that the tennis has made. And one of the mistakes they can't make is having inferior coaches. And I'd have to say that I'm pleased to see the level of coaching that's out there. And when I was approached for this job, I asked them, what's your goal? And they said, we want RPO to be the best coach education program in the world. And I stress the world because when I was with PPR, it was pretty much all U.S. and now they've evolved. But the sport has definitely evolved internationally and it's booming in Asia. And there's a lot of opportunity to grow the sport.
You know, that's interesting. Part of the thing that I've become a very big fan of watching what the GPF is doing in coalescing all of the different components. And I recently had Byron Fresso on talking about how bringing refereeing into the game internationally with some uniformity will be good. I think all of these things are really contribute. You know, Mark Renison, I wanted to ask you, I know you have a little bit of a unique approach in the standpoint that you do a tremendous amount of content online and through video. And a lot of that brought you together with having Selkirk recently purchase your company. Tell us about how you see the certification process happening.
Yeah, I think there's lots of different ways that people can teach and lots of different ways that people can learn. And, you know, what we're trying to do at the end of the day, I think all of us here, is we're trying to reach those people who want to become better coaches. And whether these are people who have no coaching experience and they're getting into coaching, whether they have some coaching, maybe from a different sport and they're crossing over to pickleball. I think what we're all trying to do, you know, we're all pulling in the same direction to help develop coaching and coach education more broadly. I think what we do when it comes to the video content that we make, whether it's for players or instructors, what we're trying to do is we're trying to deliver it in a clear, concise, hopefully enjoyable, but really accessible way. And I love in-person coach education programs. I think there's elements to those that are fantastic and great. And I also think it's true that sometimes they're out of reach for people, either because they're not happening in their particular town, city, country, state, or for other reasons. You know, sometimes people have childcare needs, right, that they need to take care of. So I think that there's some opportunities from kind of a hybrid approach that includes both in person, but also online training.
You know, I'll tell you, Robert, I thought this would be kind of an interesting question for you as you look out and where have you had touch points internationally that you can tell us about through your history?
Yeah, and the history between traveling around, you know, we have individuals in Europe, we have individuals in Australia, we've done teaching in South America and the Caribbean, in Canada and UK. So we've done a lot of it. And, you know, in one of the being the official training for one of the former global pickleball federations and everything, you know, we were engaged with probably about close to 30 pickleball associations and actually certifying and training them. So over a couple years, and one I love, you know, China, where the government got together, their top instructors and everything, I had 8 hours straight, two of us had to teach. They had to be a professor and a, you know, top racket person. We had to certify all of them in 8 hours with a whole bunch of backgrounds and after and everything. That was almost like the final testing over an 8 hour period. So, we've been doing this for a while in all those countries, and I think we've all been there and done that. So I think that this panel here brings that experience to help grow pickleball.
Perfect. You know, Dan, one of the things that I find really interesting in this, and I had an opportunity with this show to talk to many of the leaders of the sport from all over the world. And one of the things that I see and hear quite a bit is how does our sport become authentic? And how does it have the credibility as a worldwide sport? How do you see that happening with your background, and specifically, what countries have you connected with?
Well, I'll start with the countries we've connected with. We started in September, and in those 8.5 months, we've been to 20 countries already, which is, if you ask me, it's pretty incredible. Colin himself has been to Australia, and we've sent people to Asia, and we're getting ready to go to Tanzania and South Africa, as well as Europe and Brazil and Mexico. So we've pretty much covered the world in a very, very short period of time. But, going back to my experience in tennis, I went to several ITF, which is like the GPF, basically. And, listen, they're light years ahead of where we are in pickleball right now. But I think that the GPF is eventually, they're going to be the one that's going to come out from this being like the ITF. But what GPF is going to need to do is do what the ITF has done. And that's to have, all these countries have to have established bylaws. They have to have staff, and they have to be their governing body. And the GPF knows that that's got to happen, and I know they're working hard to try to get that because of the Olympic movement. So I think they'll be able to do it, Paul.
Good. Mark, given the fact that you've done an awful lot of online capabilities and things, guide us a little bit as to where your tentacles have reached.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of the, to be honest, I talked a little bit before about the convenience of, what we're trying to offer by doing a lot of the training online. What we didn't think about so much at the time was being able to create opportunities for essentially pickleball deserts to have some access. And so places where pickleball is really just emerging as a sport. Recently, we partnered with the Confederation of African Pickleball, which is an organization that, pulls together, I think it's 26 countries around Africa. I, like Robert, I know that experience of being on the court 7 hours a day for a whole week with the group in China. We were in Shenzhen, China, last year, Australia as well. And whether it's the in-person sessions that we do, which is a part of what Pickleball Coaching International does, or it's the virtual training, similar to, everyone else here today, it's amazing to see how much there really is a global reach when it comes to pickleball and pickleball coach education.
Sarah, I guess you're up now, girl. So it is something that I think is sort of interesting in this whole process, and why I've wanted to touch on this, and I'm kind of giving you a little bit of a lead-in question here, is showcasing what is going on already that has contributed to the global pickleball. Where has the PPR gone? Where have you gone? Where have you been spreading your word around the world?
Well, last month we actually had a training, an international coach developer training, because we have coach developers all over the world. We have offices in China, Italy, Rome, UK, gosh, Dubai, all over the place. And so that's an important part, because I have about 30 people that are there for from about 30 different countries. I myself just got back from Shanghai, Taiwan, Tokyo. I'll go to Rome next week with the Italian Tennis Federation and, in Shanghai. And I think that's a really different awareness. The United States, itself, we don't necessarily have as many minimals when it comes to education. And as Dan kind of alluded to, the importance of federations and how they work, well, that really means education hours are different in different countries. So if I'm doing a workshop in Shanghai, it's a 2-day workshop, which is about 16 hours. If it's in Italy, it's a 2.5-day workshop. If I'm in Singapore, it's going to be a 2-day workshop. So we work with the federations with their education standards. So we adjust with that as it comes to make sure we're meeting the standards of in-person and online. From the high level of testing, we want to make sure that the product itself, that the coaches we're producing have challenges and are learning from their experience. So that, I wish that we were like most other countries and we could do a 2-day course and that would be, what people had time to do. And like Mark said, it's not always easy for players to get to, coaches to be able to get to that access to.
So it's, you know, it's consistently trying to help develop their, within their own countries so they're not reliant upon us, I think is really important. It's a huge factor. Let's face it, education. We're a nonprofit organization, you know, and that's something too that, you know, we really take seriously from a growth standpoint when working with other organizations, with how to develop within other countries. You know, are they having the same roots and values that we do to grow within?
You know, this is, we're really coming in, this conversation's going exactly where I'd hoped that it would. One of the things that has impressed me so much in the GPF and what their efforts are is the fact of understanding that all of this growth of our sport is going to come not through one of you or two of you, but all of you. And I love the fact that we've talked as we've gone through this conversation here, we've talked about having programs been done on every continent on Earth right now in the pickleball space. And goodness knows it's a big space out there. We need all of you guys hitting on all cylinders. That being said, one of the things that I like so much about what GPF has done with having an endorsement program with your kind of coaching, teaching, history, and certification. And by the way, for anyone that's watching this, the links to all of the programs of these people will be on the broadcast when it comes out. You'll be able to easily reach out to any or all of them through those links. But I wanted to ask you, and I want to start here with Mark, the idea of our sport having authenticity and credibility, like the other major sports of the world, comes from global governance. But then I think a lot of that comes from how coaching and teaching is an integral part of it. Any thoughts or ideas from your end as to where you think GPF can lead the sport?
Oh, that's a big question. I think, you know, as exciting as it is to see pickleball continue to emerge and to think, you know, I heard someone say not too long ago, it's really great being part of a sport that's kind of like a startup, right? Which, you know, even though it's back to 1965, of course, but it's really been the last, let's say, 10 years that we've seen the trajectory go the way it has. It is still a little bit of a Wild West out there. And, you know, looking into your crystal ball to figure out, I mean, I certainly never would have 10 years ago predicted that we'd be here having this conversation and pickleball as a whole would be where it is. So it's a fun little thought experiment to imagine 10 years from now. Similarly, so I do think one of the things I appreciate about Global Pickleball Federation and like we said before, bringing us together, this endorsement program, looking that programs, even though they might be different in important ways, but also have some unifying themes together that are, and some standards that are important. I think that's going to be important for pickleball as a whole, to have, to treat pickleball instructors like professionals, to take the things that are from other sports when it comes to coach education that are really strong and really positive, to bring those into pickleball, and then also to innovate ourselves and not just copy, you know, another racket sport, for example. I think that's the possibility with GPF and with all the programs we're talking about here today.
Cool. Dan, that's the natural lead in for you. So where Mark is talking about not simply copying things that have been done in the past, you come from an extensive tennis history. What do you see happening with certification worldwide and how it will help contribute to the growth of the sport?
Well, I think the one thing, Paul, that's different about the two sports is, you know, when tennis started, there was really just one organization for 50 plus years. And then the PTR came along and there's still two organizations and the USTA is get involved. But with pickleball, it's like you alluded to earlier, there's at least seven organizations. And I was asked by Tony Casey, who serves on the GPF board, and he's the chairman of the committee for instruction for GPF. And he asked me to come on board because of my past experience. And one of the things that he charged me with was to research all the organizations like Mark, Sarah, and Robert and Riff and so on, and just give the details and see where we are and, you know, kind of come up with some criteria to have what this endorsement program. And, you know, under Tony's leadership and the committee, I think they you know, I guess they, we did a really good job of getting it organized and really making sure that the GPF can have a kind of a good grasp on what's going on in coaching all around the world. And one of the things that was part of the 8 things that we have to do is that we've got to make sure that it's affordable as well. Cause you know, you'd mentioned, you know, being in all the continents, and like I say, we're going to Africa and we're going there and we're going to lose money. But guess what, Paul, we're spreading the word about pickleball coaching and growing the sport. And that's what all 4 of us are on this call to do.
Sarah, one of the things that I've kind of been looking forward to getting you back on the or on the podcast is talking about the fact you were one of the earliest in terms of the formal organization of coaching and teaching programs. And I won't give you too much absolute startup of that, because I know there were a number of other people doing different things. But guide us a little bit as to what you've seen coming from an extensive player background and extensive coaching background, what you see that's happened to date and what you see going forward through the GPF.
Well, you know, first I just got to say, just being on this phone call, that reminds me, what I'm thinking about is Casa Grande, Arizona, where Mark and Rob and I were all there at Nationals. And just, you know, when Mark said, I never imagined being here in 10 years, I don't think any of us did. I think, you know, when I first started playing pickleball, because I come from coaching tennis, I coached college tennis and all that before, the first thing I did was I wanted to know, I reached out to USA Pickleball. I said, what's our organization? Who does the education? And it didn't exist at the time. And so I kind of started building, honestly, then I was actually asked by a couple of other groups before PPR came to me. And I really felt, like I said prior to, it was important to have an influence of racket sport that it's already aware, you know, because there was this massive divide between tennis and pickleball. I mean, when I went pickleball full time, I cannot tell you how many of my colleagues thought I was an idiot and, you know, said, you're too young for that. And what are you doing? You're throwing your life away, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, but it is, it's like everybody, we fall in love with the sport for various reasons. It's good for us. We're healthy. We're doing all those things. And so, the difficult part, because, you know, playing back then, let's say, you know, we didn't really make that much money. Playing now, I make better money. That's all, I mean, that's totally true. It's a different situation. But there's things that have gotten lost within that time. I think all of us have seen it, you know, where businesses have taken more into this sport, and it's less about the growth and it's more about how does my business grow. And it's confusing for the market, essentially. It's confusing for people out there in pickleball who just want to play pickleball and or just want to teach pickleball and share their love, and that's it. And so I think that factor that we've talked about in other countries, that unification, you know, when you have 64 countries, I think they've got right now under GPF, it's huge, because I, you know, some other associations, you know, like we've talked about, some countries, they haven't been defined on who is actually their leader or who is their association. And so I've had, you know, groups from the same country tell me they're the same, you know, they are the association, they are the federation. And so I think there's a lot out there that is, that, you know, can be difficult for players and coaches and organizations who really care about the growth of the sport over making dollars and cents. And so I think that's the scary part. And in my sense of what I love about pickleball, I know, you know, Mark and Rob have played pickleball for quite some time, and they, you know, we love it for our reasons. And there's a reason that we're committed to the sport. And so I, in my biggest hopes with GPF, and I've seen it so far from the conversations with the countries that I've worked with throughout there, is that it's about getting us further along
but on the same page. And what I've seen a lot in this industry in the last couple of years is a lot of fighting within our industry, a lot of misinformation, a lot of, you know, battles on these types of things. And I think I say it to everyone I work with, everyone I mentor, and like groups as well. I said, we need to work together. If we want to succeed, we have to work together. We have to, and yes, we may not agree with what someone else is doing, but if there's a benefit that can be served, then it's worth it to try to get us a little further, because it's about the sport. It's not about us. So, yeah, that's a big one. I'm not going to lie. So that can go. And what I feel probably really passionate about, because I've seen the sport change a lot over the last 10 years. And I just want to keep seeing it grow in a positive way.
Good. You know, you're touching on a couple of things that are really passion projects for me. And part of the reason that I wanted to put this panel together, I came from a lifetime in the sporting goods industry in a number of different areas of it. And one of the things that I've seen from the time I came into the sport 13 years ago was everything could be done by somebody saying, oh, you know what, that's my program, or I just started this, or I just started that. And we know that as our sport has matured, that that's just not a possible thing. I love the fact that as I've met the GPF people, I was invited to their conference that they did during Nationals last year in November and met leaders from around the world of their organization. And I was just dazzled with the people that they have as part of their organization. But I do believe that we, the collective in the sport, we need to identify that global governance, which is very different than all of the different organizations and things, it's the steering organization that guides our sport, is able to optimize and maximize things. You guys are part, I don't know if you know the term Active 8 within it being, it's a new term that's being announced by GPF about the 8 key points that they're looking to push on. And your group is number 6. And that is about coaching and teaching internationally and how important it is for our sport to be unified to having your kind of expertise taken worldwide. So I think that's all really cool and exciting. I want to make sure we have a little bit of a free form opportunity here. And one of the things that I would like to throw out as an open question is, everybody sitting here on this panel has been through a long history in pickleball. The idea of where it's come from, it's easy for all of us to look back on and go, oh my God, I never would have known 10 years ago. The reality is I think we're just starting to hit our stride. I think the growth opportunities and the growth potential is absolutely enormous because of the groundwork that has been done. Anyone there that wants to offer an opinion or thought, put your hand up and we'll let me pick you out.
I was going to nominate Robert, because I feel like between the four of us, he's probably been.
I was thinking the same thing.
Sorry, Robert. Can we nominate you for that one?
Right, I was gonna pick Dan.
Go ahead, Robert. Dan did a beautiful job of being the big kid in the room and stepping up. Let's start with Dan, and we'll come back to Robert. Dan, take it.
Yeah. Well, if you look at where pickleball's come with the SFIA statistics, and it's almost 20 million players. You know, the only individual sport that's racket sports is bigger is tennis. And there are people that are saying in 2 to 3 years, it's going to be bigger than pickleball is going to be bigger than tennis if it's not already bigger. That's just one. There's people say there's 50 million. So it all who you believe. So once it gets to be the top racket sport, I think the sky's the limit. I spoke at an ASBA conference and they asked me if pickleball was going to be a fad. And I said to them, do you remember the 1960s animated cartoon, The Flintstones? And I said, what were the sports that Fred and Barney played? And they said, they were bowlers. And I said, yeah, that's right. And I said, if they were to recreate The Flintstones today, the sport would switch, Paul, from bowling to pickleball, and Fred and Barney would be pickleball players playing with their wives Wilma and Betty, their kids Pebbles and Bam Bam, and now they'd have grandkids. because pickleball is a generational sport. And that's one of the reasons, and it's very easy to play. That's one of the reasons that, you know, I see the growth of pickleball is just the sky is the limit. Because I've also done some research, and 75 to 80% of people in any country have the ability to play a sport like pickleball. Where a lot of other sports, skilled sports, it's in the 20 to 50%. So you do the math and you see how the growth can be very substantial for the sport of pickleball.
You know, before I throw it over to Robert, I do want to comment. I've been fortunate that I've been involved. I've had on this show, I've had almost every leader from around the world in the sport of pickleball talking about it. I had one of the Indian leaders on, Pran Kohli, probably 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and he threw out the number 100 million players yet to be developed in Asia. And you go, wow, you know, it just is the upside potential. And the reason I'm so pro pickleball from what I've seen in my career in sports, industry, and growth, I'll tell you another SIFA interesting statistic is pickleball in the United States has larger participation than a sport called soccer. And people don't,
baseball.
And they don't hear that. But you got to keep in mind, those sports, you're kind of done with it, whether you're college age or post-college age, you're certainly falling away from it. We've got this amazing 8 to 80 demographic. So that all feeds into it. So going back to Mr. Robert Elliott, who seems to be Mr. Popular in the group, come on at us, buddy. Get us up to speed.
Yeah, I think we all touched upon a couple of things. And I still have my head. I can't get the Flintstones out of my head here and trying to think that, you know, Bam Bam would definitely be a player nowadays with all it is power bang and all this kind of stuff. So he would fit in really, really well. But with that, you know, taking that is that's what I think that, you know, I'm really proud to be part of this organization and the rest of everybody on here because of what you guys are doing and trying to make the sport better. And that's what we're all doing here. And, you know, there's some nonprofits in here. There's some some for profits, but we're still here for the same thing. I think that's a big thing. One thing too is that I think that, you know, all of us could help, and we've touched upon here is, you know, it is a little scary, the competition out there right now. We hear it, right? Now there's multiple certification companies out there for paddles. There's multiple training organizations. You can see we can work together. And I think, you know, GPF, bring us together and their leadership here with the other organizations around the world can really help shape what we're all talking about here. And get it that, you know, so there is less fighting out there and people trying to take advantage of it, because all that's going to do is stunt the growth. And we need to make sure that it does continue to grow, not just for the benefit of all of us here, but for the benefit of everybody. And as we all mentioned here, the benefit of some of the other countries, because if this becomes monopolized by the people just looking at it for money, 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 you know, I'm a nonprofit, you know, Sarah works for a nonprofit, but you even got for profits like Dan who went to Africa at a loss. You know, we are here for this reason. And so we need to make sure and all work together that that continues, or it is going to stunt the growth. All those numbers you guys are saying won't happen if the political infighting occurs and all that stuff, and not somebody stepping up like GPF and being able to be a leader in the space and pull some different organizations together to do that, or we're in trouble. But that's why, you know, I'm proud to be a part of this and for what we're all hoping for. Make it better, make it more accessible, and, you know, spread the love that, you know, the reason why we're all here.
You know, when I was doing some prep for this, I looked into some of the real details of how the GPF was trying to set up this partnership endorsement program with your four organizations. And I understand there were two characteristics that were kind of criteria that they're looking for you to begin doing shorts and video content as a piece of the program. And also the fact that they want to, they're not going to control anybody. That's not their goal and objective, but they are looking to add guidance to the sport in hoping to help manage costs and keep costs down. I think Dan had mentioned the challenges of countries like Africa. Guide me a little bit, maybe start with Mark, as to how you see yourself fitting into their overall scheme.
Yeah, so the process for earning the endorsement was actually pretty lengthy. There were a lot of criteria that we all had to meet. Having affordable coach education was one of them, as you said. That's why at Pickleball Coaching International for years now, we've had a free intro instructor program. And this isn't a certification program, but it's a way for people who, you know, are introducing new people to pickleball, and maybe they want a little bit of guidance about how to start that, that we make that completely free for anyone who's interested. So we contribute in that way. I think also it's important to note, you know, not everyone can pay the same price for a certification program. And so that's why we do have regional pricing. We have, you know, even within the continent of Africa, for example, there's different countries where the, you know, the per capita income is significantly different. And so even within those regions, we'll have different pricing structures, you know, because yeah, it's nice to make money in programs, whether they're for profit or not for profit, you know, they do need to be able to bring in revenue to be able to function. But I think for us, and, you know, I feel pretty comfortable saying this for the others here, is that following the money and making the dollars is not the primary objective. It's not the main driver. It is about developing pickleball coaches and doing it in a way that we think is smart and effective and going to help to grow the sport overall. So that's what we try to do, is to have a number of free programs that are available, as well as regional pricing, so it can be affordable for people who want to get involved.
You know, that really leads back to a point that I made earlier in the show. On this show a couple of times, I've made the comment that I'm personally, my personal passion project is in 2025, I want to do everything I possibly can to help find global governance. And one of the things that becomes a real challenge, I think, in the sport, and both with manufacturers, with leaders, with tournament directors, is there is this insane desire to control different pieces of the pie. And one of the things that I tell people all the time is global governance really doesn't have anything to do with what's happening on a local, regional, national basis with tournaments, other than their own potential events if we get a track to the Olympics. But the thing that I do think is so important is for our sport to have the vertical opportunities that it does, we have to become recognized as a global sport. And the fastest way to do that, I think Robert was making some points, the fastest way to get the pie to continue to grow as fast as it can is to optimize everything that's been positive about the game, which is what I think you four are all about. I think when the GPF set this program up, their identification was, yes, anybody anywhere can say I'm an instructor, I'm a coach, but let's go to the people who have a proven track record, who went to the point of going through the credentials and the ideas of what GPF wanted to do. And that really, to me, is where the magic point is where you have the ability, you guys, you four, as this sport continues to expand around the world, have the opportunity to have a multiplier, a force multiplier that's dramatically greater than any other way I know of, other than hope and prayer. So with that being said, you know, Sarah, give me just a little bit of an idea as to what you think would be the optimal next 4 to 5 years in the sport of pickleball, where you're involved, your organization's involved, and if we can arrive at global governance.
Well, I think, you know, a couple of things that we look at, isn't it, you know, we're an education service. We're not just a certification. And so I think one of the most important things from our growth perspective is, you know, we have multiple types of specialty courses. We have different levels of courses. We have in-person, we have a required coach, you know, minimum requirements of education you have to maintain in order to maintain your membership. And we just launched, actually today was one of our first official PPRW, which is a women's coaching network programs. So when I work a lot with our international groups, these are the things they're looking for. They don't have access to, okay, yes, I got certified, but now what are ways that I can be a better coach, and
how do I structure lessons? And, you know, what about mental health coaching? What about nutrition? You know, all those other things. The more well-rounded we make ourselves as coaches, I always say, you know, my job is to give my coaches tools in their belt, whatever that is. You know, if they think it's a better way to schedule their courts, then that's great. If it's a, you know, an education program, then that's great. But my job is to create resources for different levels of people, but also different access levels. We are just launching our online kind of pre-coaching course, kind of like an introductory coaching course, like Mark said, and also using a lot of this to get to some countries that don't have access to these materials. We've kind of worked out some deals because one of the things, you know, we talk about with numbers, great, that number can be huge, but what people also don't always address are facilities. A lot of these countries don't have anywhere to build courts. They don't have anywhere to play. I mean, I've got, you know, someone in Sylvania, they've been doing, you know, pickleball and worked their butts off for 2 years getting it going, but they nowhere else in, you know, hours and hours radius can they play pickleball and introduce it to people. So I think a lot of our job is educating different types of sports and to get different types of resources and facilities to these people that we hear from everywhere. And when we have that consistent professional, it's kind of like Dan, you know, said about tennis in the 70s, there's a lot of really unqualified coaches getting certified to teach tennis. And so that in itself, you know, created a bad, you know, image on tennis. And if you go on social media today and you look up how many people complain about bad pickleball lessons, it's absurd. And essentially, that's why education is really important to that growth. Because what happens with those people, they get frustrated. They don't want to take lessons anymore because they had really, really bad experiences over and over again. And so when we create kind of a better consistency of this is really a pickleball coach should be just as a professional as a basketball coach or a, you know, a tennis coach or a golf coach. It's every sport. Coaching is coaching. The difference is we happen to focus on pickleball, but the concepts of growth and coaching are like every other sport. It's getting equipment, it's getting needs, it's getting connections. Most of the countries that I talk to, it's they want to know how they can get better equipment. So it's about, you know, okay, I'll send you 5 paddle companies that, you know, let's hope they can go. And so I think, you know, like Mark said, it's all of us are doing something to help it grow. And it's so many levels that maybe one, you know, place we focus on more because that's the need in that area. You know, it's like you go to a different country, their needs are different. So we have to evolve with that. I really, really believe it's important of representatives from their own countries to be teaching and educating rather than it being Americans going in and saying, you know, like you said, the importance of global governments. So, you know, I as often as possible think it's important that we are training and educating coach developers within those countries so they can grow it better than us coming in and, you know, running a workshop, getting people certified and leaving. So that's where global pickleball comes in. It's that recognition that all countries are equal. It's not US and Canada. It's everybody has a vote and everybody has a reason to build. So the more we empower each other, those groups, that really means that people coming in are going to be just as empowered and have the resources to build within their own areas.
Yeah, you're really hitting on one of the things. I have interviewed most of the other organizations that have had aspirations of some kind of global involvement. And one of the reasons I found myself becoming such a strong believer in the GPF is it's exactly like the four of you. They're taking the opportunity instead of saying, oh, go find something that'll help you with coaching, teaching in your market. They reached out and they vetted the marketplace and they identified organizations, your four, that they endorse. It doesn't mean that there aren't other people that might also be good. But now for a country somewhere in the world to say, is there a track? Is there a way we can kind of accelerate our growth of pickleball by adding quality instruction? And that's where I think the GPF is really doing things. Sarah, you're mentioning a couple of things that are really important. Facilities are always the struggle. They're still the struggle in the United States. I mean, I travel the U.S. very extensively. The number of cities that somebody's going, we need more courts. We can't handle what we've got. That's a never-ending problem. That is one of the active eight criteria that GPF is working on, is how do we help countries do that? How do we help them emerge? I'm aware of a couple of things that'll be announced in the next couple of weeks, maybe months, specific to this thing. But this is why I'm such a strong believer in a global governing organization that isn't about choosing winners and losers. It's about creating the framework to help countries grow exponentially. So, okay, I'm done with my sermon. I'm done preaching there. I want to wrap this up. I really do appreciate you guys coming on. I think this kind of stuff is invaluable. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to just get, maybe a thumbnail as to what you individually would like to see in your relationship with GPF. Is there anything that we haven't talked about yet? Then Robert, I'll throw that out to you to get started.
You're going to let me start with that one? I didn't have time to think about that answer. Just kidding. First off, of course, we want to thank them for what they've done, getting us together. I think the biggest thing is one thing I alluded to is to be at the forefront working with the associations around the world. So one is the lessons learned that we talked about here. Let's utilize the four of us here to teach their teachers, those that want to be the educators in their countries, how to teach correctly. I think that's the biggest thing that I would love working with you, that the GPF can really help us benefit from. Also, to get some influence there, once we have that kind of influence with them, that they see that, hey, this is what we're all trying to do, grow the sport, we're all working together. I think the other thing that we all kind of pointed out too is that, the devil side of pickleball is some of the large organizations that are coming in for the wrong reason. But if we get enough of a people together that understanding here, we could help keep that at bay as much as we can. So therefore, we can keep growing. And I think it's that aspect and all of us giving back. And we've mentioned, the requirements in order to be one of the four of us here with the GPF is that accessibility to training. And I think that's going to be huge too for it. And I just saw, we gave a little sponsorship for it and everything. And it was in Uganda, and we're talking about accessibility and everything. They had a tournament, and it was only a single road in the street, dirt road. And they had a couple nets up, and that's their tournament. And that's the type of opportunity, because that's the way that we're all here giving back and everything. And so that's what I'm excited about, all of those things, helping steer the ship correctly.
Mark, any thoughts on where you think we ought to be going and what GPF can do to help with that process as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky balance, right? And on the one hand, I hear the argument about unification and about kind of assimilation and groups coming together. And at the same time, I recognize that having a little bit of competition in this marketplace is good for the marketplace, right? And when people like Sarah or Robert or Dan come and do something interesting and innovative and new, when it comes to coach education, that pushes all of us, right, to think about that mm-hmm. and to innovate ourselves. So there is a balance that I think we need to strike. And I hope that GPF can help to do that. I hope that they can continue to bring associations together and who can work together in ways that are productive, and at the same time, create the space where those different associations and groups are doing interesting, innovative things that that maybe people hadn't thought of before. So, look, I don't envy anyone who has to walk that tightrope to try to make that happen. But I do think that finding a way to do that and to mostly stay on the tightrope, I think will be good for pickleball as a whole and pickleball coach education in particular.
So Dan, I'm going to save Sarah to the end. So Dan, I want to hear from you as to how you see yourself and the GPF and their efforts moving forward together.
Well, you said there's eight committees. I serve on two of them. And the reason I serve on two of them is because RPO believes that, you should be involved in a global organization, a global governing body. And I think that's the other thing that we as leaders need to do, to be involved in our national association as well as the global association to grow the sport. Because I saw that, in my 40 some years in tennis, the involvement as a volunteer okay, and it is a volunteer, is important to make sure that the national and the international federations are strong, because that's what it's going to take to get us in the Olympics. And I think everybody on this call will agree that's one of the main things that's going to help grow the sport of pickleball in the next 5 to 10 years is having that Olympic movement come to fruition.
All right, Sarah, you've had a chance to hear everybody's analysis, everybody's thoughts.
I can't really disagree.
You can't repeat anything either.
I know if I say anything, Ravel's going to, yes, because I can't disagree with anybody. I think, I think I was speaking to a group of, future directors, leaders a couple days ago, and we really talked about what is a governing body. And a governing body doesn't, because yes, we all want the Olympics. Everybody everyone, that's our golden, great. But so much about a governing body is education. It's access to education. It's grassroots and development. It's a pathway. There's, we have that thing that we want, absolutely. And I think that's great. But I want still less to focus on the all, from that beginner grassroots player all the way up to our, professionals. I think there's a bigger percentage of people out there who just love the sport of pickleball and want access to pickleball. So I say use the resources. I always say with any relationship or partnership, okay, if it's really a relationship or partnership, use the resources within those relationships and partnerships to better do for your company or organization. So I think just staying on that tightrope a little bit, it's always the goal is, it's a big goal. And at the end of the day, it's to grow pickleball at every level. So I think I want to see Global Pickleball be the governing body. I think it has absolutely that potential. And obviously you have, four people here who are all willing to go the extra mile to help make that happen. So I think that, says a lot for the people already involved, and obviously for all of us to say, such strong things about it. So I think staying true to the path is the biggest thing.
Perfect. I'm going to tell you, I think this has been great. And I love the fact that this show is seen by people all over the world. The idea of allowing people in other parts of the world to realize the resources that are available to them, I think is a large part of what we try and do on this show. I do want to mention something about governance in global governance in the sport. We've all talked a great deal about the IOC and the Olympics, and won't that be a wow moment? I think we are very close to what will be even, well, maybe not a bigger moment, but as big a moment when our sport can claim that we are a globally governed sport. And we have the PR moment to talk about the fact that we have authenticity and credibility from all countries of the world through the kinds of things like teaching and coaching, like uniform refereeing, like facilities development, that there's some continuity to it. I think that will be an amazing day for pickleball, because it puts us on the same tier internationally as soccer, as tennis, as badminton, as table tennis. And that idea of having pickleball transcend, we're a cool new sport and we're innovative and we're fun. That's why I'm such a big believer in the fact that I think that global governance, which then leads down to continental governance, that leads down to national governance, are all the things that all the major sports of the world have. I want that for pickleball. So that being said, I wasn't going to get on my podium again, but I guess I did. I want to thank you guys all so much for being part of this program. I loved having a chance to hear about it from you guys. Let's stay in touch. Let's talk about what's going on in the future with your programs and with the GPF. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me today. I've sure enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
There we go.
Thanks, everybody.
Good to see you guys.